Let's bow our heads in prayer. It is good for us to be here, O Father, in this, thy sanctuary, where we can come and rest and sit at thy feet for learning. Father, we are tossed about with many cares in this world, yet when we come before thee, we have peace and joy. We thank thee for the promises that where two or three are gathered in thy name, that there thou shalt be also, and we invite thee in our midst. That thou would be our unseen guest, and thou would speak unto our hearts, that thou would walk among the pews, and thou would touch each and every heart. For we desire to walk in thy ways, and we desire to please thee, Father. For we are still in this flesh and blood, and we need thy assistance, and we need thy guidance. We need thy word, and we ask that thou wouldst give us thy word in this morning hour, that thou wouldst enlighten our hearts, and thou wouldst strengthen us, that we might walk a closer life with thee, pleasing before thee. We ask thy blessing upon the reading that we are to read, Lord, and thou wouldst give us inspiration. We give thanks and praise, and we ask all these favors in thy wonderful name, Lord Jesus, now forevermore. Amen. With the Lord's help, I would like to read from the portion that's open unto us, and it is open from the Gospel according to Luke from chapter 21. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 21. Evangelia Paluzzi dvaist prvu glavu, želim da se pročita, da je Gospod otvori za nas. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed, that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near, go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you, and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues, and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And they shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your heart not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But they shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries return thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck, in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable. Behold, a fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, they see and know, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that the day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the day time he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. I've read the entire chapter.
Almighty and gracious Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come, and may thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. We've assembled this morning round about thy precious and living word, and we thank thee for it, a word that will never pass away. Though the stones of the temple have fallen, as Jesus has said, and we believe that the heaven and earth will pass away, as Jesus has said, thy word, O Lord, will never pass away, a faithful and true foundation upon which we can build our lives and hope for eternal life with thee forever. That Jesus Christ, our Savior, has come to proclaim, to announce to the world thy righteousness unto all that believe, and how we need thy gift of salvation, how we need thy truth. So we've assembled ourselves together to meditate upon thy word. We pray for thy servants as they would divide the word and share according to what thou in thy wisdom will provide. Lord, fill their mouths with the good seed of thy word. They might scatter abroad to our hearts, that we might be edified and built up in the faith, that we might be prepared, as this word is a word of preparation, prepared to understand and be wise unto that which is good and simple concerning that which is evil, and that we might take the true and leave the false behind. We give thee thanks that thou hast brought us here. We pray that thou would impart thy blessing. We also ask, O Lord, for the children that are in the Sunday schools. Bless them and their teachers as they also learn of thee, thy love for them, and their place in thy kingdom, Lord, that is prepared for those who love thee and believe in thee. And as we think of the children and their innocence, we pray that thou would also grant unto us that we would be as children before thy feet in simplicity and in trust, hoping and expecting for thy blessing and for thy leading, even for thy chastisement where it is needed, Lord, and the correction to guide our hearts and our lives aright in the path of Jesus Christ, who has walked here on this earth, who has been tempted and overcame, may we also overcome through the blood of the Lamb and through his resurrection power that is available for us now in this day. We give thee thanks for these blessings. We give thee thanks, Lord, for each and every soul, and pray that thou would bless each one who has come with thy word to their hearts, as only thou can speak and touch. We also pray for those that are not with us, those that might be sick, those that might be at home. We know that thy spirit can reach even to them, and we pray for thy blessing upon them. And as this world is in its turmoil, and as sin and Satan and the flesh seeks to make its imprint upon this world, Lord, we've come away from this world to hear thy word and for it to speak its stillness and its blessing to our hearts. Grant that we, as we assemble this day, would find thy peace and have that calm assurance in Jesus Christ the Savior and in none else. And these things we ask and pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
I believe you can all join with David when he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. David for a long time was banished from being in the temple because of his sins. And finally, when they were lifted from him, he was allowed to gather in the temple, and he gathered with great joy. And we have been banished and restricted from assembling due to the circumstances in this world. We all had different plans, but at the same time, for our own safety, they suggested that we would refrain from worshiping together. But I believe that we have been worshiping the Lord, be it two or three, wherever we would be, in seclusion, in secret, in our homes, for we delight to walk in the ways of the Lord. For we have a homeland that is prepared for us in heaven, and we are only pilgrims and strangers upon this earth. And each step that we take, we draw a closer step towards heaven. And as human beings, we are many times concerned about the things that we have in this life. Of course, the Lord said that the Gentiles worry about the things, that what they shall eat, what they shall wear, what they shall put on, whatever. He told us not to be like that. For our Father, our Creator, knows that we have need of all these things. But rather we should seek those things that are from above, the things for our soul salvation. And we find that comfort in God's word when we open his word and when he would speak unto our hearts, reminding us that we should not be cumbered about these things that shall pass away. For what shall it benefit us if we do worry about these things? Jesus said, can you add one cubit to your stature? He said, if you can't do those that are least, why do you worry about the rest? As he walked with his disciples, and his disciples, you know, both Luke and Matthew and another one of the gospel writers speak about the dialogue or the Mount Olive converse or debate. Whereas they looked at the temple and they saw the beautiful stones, they admired what temple was built. And Jesus reminded them that this temple is not going to last. There comes a time. And in Matthew, they put three questions to the Lord. Matthew 24. These three questions were about when will this be, referring to the temple being destroyed. When will the end come, and when will he come again? And so, even as the brother prayed in the prayer that the stones that made up the temple, they were cast down one upon another, as Jesus said. We know by history that in the year 70 AD, the Romans came, and because the temple was built in such a way that they laid gold between all those stones, that when the Romans came, they wanted to take all that gold, and they took stone by stone out. And the temple was destroyed, except for the one wall, the western wall, that still remains, what they call the Wailing Wall. And the other two questions still remain. When will the end come, and when will he return? As for these things, Jesus said, which ye behold, the days will come in which there shall not be left stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. But then he said, take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth nigh. Go ye not therefore after them. Why is it that Satan will come to portray himself like Christ? Why will he not come and show himself as he is? And the Bible tells us, Jesus said himself, that he transforms himself in an angel of light, if it be possible to deceive the very elect. And we know that one goal that Satan has is to keep mankind from that kingdom of God. You see, Jesus said that Satan is a liar and a murderer. He's a liar from the beginning. He lied unto our first parents. He deceived them that they lost the opportunity to take from the tree of life. It's amazing when we look into that portion of the scripture that when God created man and he created all the beautiful garden and he told Adam to eat of all the trees, he had the opportunity to take from the tree of life. But the one tree that God told him, the tree of knowledge, of good and evil, not to take of. And it was with that temptation that Satan came. When God says, don't do it, and Satan comes and says, well, do it. And he told man, and here's the lie. God knows that the day you will take of that tree, that you shall become like God. And isn't that a fact what mankind has achieved today? That mankind has put God out of their lives in general, and they want to become as God, to have rule over their life, to control their lives, to control whatever they want to do, that nobody can say unto them, what doest thou? And we know the consequence of believing that lie, that it brought forth death. And once they obeyed Satan and took of the forbidden fruit, they realized what sin is. For sin is the transgression of God's law. And they lost that communion with God. And they lost that fellowship with God. And instead of the peace and the joy that they had every morning to walk in the cool of the day when God would speak unto them, they had all of a sudden fear. And they were afraid to meet the Maker. Brothers and sisters, when we come into the house of the Lord, do we have joy? Do we have gladness? Do we draw nigh unto him with a true heart, knowing that he will comfort us, that he will strengthen us, and that he will also admonish us and correct us and draw us closer to him, that he might perfect us for that kingdom, that we might be able to walk worthy with him. You know, the last portion of this scripture that we read, it says that we might be found worthy, that we might be able to be accountable, that we might be able to be attired in that white raiment that the Savior prepared for us in the day that he saved us. For Adam and Eve, they found themselves naked. They made their own apparels, their aprons, and that wasn't sufficient. God had to make for them that covering, where already some type of an animal had to be slain to make them those clothes. A foreshadow of that Lamb of God that was to be slain, that we might be able to have that raiment where we could walk worthy with the Lord. And behold, all the glory that he has prepared for those that love him. Satan wants to rob us today of those promises. He wants to take away our assurance, our peace, our joy, and bring in its place fear and doubt. But loved ones, we know that where there is the true love of God in the heart of a soul, that there is peace and there is joy. Jesus said, I came that you might have peace. I came that you might have joy and that your joy may be full. In this world, you will have tribulations. And perhaps we would say, well, we are living in a time of tribulation. We're living in a time of testings. And we're not in those times that our forefathers went through. Perhaps it's a foretaste. But the time of our forefathers, and even if we read there in Hebrews 11, what the true faithful martyrs of the Lord, what they went through, our tribulations, our tests are nothing. We are tested more spiritually now than physical. We are bombarded and tested through many things of the media, that our mind would be focused and preoccupied on these things, and that our hearts will be full of fear. Here we read together that man's heart failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. I mean, as parents, we would wonder, how are we going to feed the children? As parents, we are wondering what's going to happen when the number will come. But does it matter? Will we not trust the Lord as the faithful of old? We know we have those scriptures for a reason, that we might be strengthened. We know it in the time of old, as we read about Elijah and how God provided for him, how God allowed the ravens to feed him, how God sent his prophets to the widow of Sarepta, and for those 3 years when there was famine, because the widow offered first to make him a meal. Afterwards, for 3 years, the flour didn't dry, the oil did not dry. God was able to provide. But you see, when we become so concerned about those things, we almost become like these people of the world that want to become gods unto themselves. That they want to create clouds and rains where they want to, and they want to create whatever they want to do, not to depend upon God. Remember the Lord's Prayer when the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples? And Jesus taught him to pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread." He didn't say about tomorrow and the day after. God wants us to be dependent on Him for each and every day. He will give us our daily bread. And you know, when we concern ourselves about the many things of what shall come after us, Jesus said, "Sufficient unto you is the evil of the day." When we have enough problems of today, why do we worry about tomorrow? We only have so many more burdens upon ourselves which we cannot control. But we know that He who gives us the breath will also give us the strength. That with every temptation that our Lord will provide a way of escape. Today, whatever comes, He will offer a way of escape. Man's heart failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. What's happening today is only turmoil upon this earth because what man does. But when the end shall come, when the stars from heaven shall fall, when the moon shall be darkened, when man, the Bible tells us, there shall come a time when man will call unto the mountains to fall upon them, to hide them from him who is to come, from the Lord Jesus. But as children of God, we shall look with great anticipation. Jesus said here, when you see these things, and when you shall, and in your patience possess ye your souls. This is the key word, to be patient, to rest in the Lord, to wait upon Him, to trust in Him. And your patience possess ye your souls. You know, in the Old Testament it says there that you shall not run before me. There was a time when the people of Israel were defeated by the armies, they prayed unto God whether they should go, and God said, "No, don't go into battle." And they disobeyed, and they went into battle, and they were defeated because God was not with them. And there was another time when God said, "Well, with 300, you can go and overcome the enemy." When God is present, then, when God is with us, who can be against us? What can we do by ourselves? Nothing. But when the Lord is with us, then we are strengthened. Then we are empowered to be able to resist the devil. The Bible says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Have we not proven that out? That when we resisted him, that he flees from us? But when we give in to him, it's like a salesman that would come and he knocks on the door and you open the door for him or her. And you say, "No, thank you," and you want to shut the door, and he puts his foot in the door and he opens the door slowly. And that's how he works. But the Lord wants us to resist him, to shut the door, that we will not even give heed to those thoughts, to those fears, to those things that this world is so concerned about. What's going to happen tomorrow? Will we be here tomorrow? Tomorrow is not promised to anybody. So we need to be ready. Jesus said here that we should be watching. "Watch therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." To stand before Him. For there is coming a day when each and every one of us shall stand before the Son of Man and shall give an account of our lives. not the account of somebody else's lives, of my brother or my sister or my wife or my children. No, we shall give an account of our deeds. Whatever we have spoken, whatever we have done, whatever we have thought. They're all recorded. The Bible tells us that there shall be three books opened. When Jesus spoke upon this earth, he says, I came not to judge anybody. He said, my word shall judge you. This Bible shall be opened in the last day, and it shall judge each and every one of us. Well, Jesus said, you know, that we were not allowed even to be angry with our brother without cause. We're not even to call our brother a fool, for we shall be brought into judgment. Man shall give an account for every word that he says. And this book shall be opened. And Malachi says that there is a book of remembrance. Those that thought upon the Lord. There's a book of remembrance made there. And all the things that we do in this life are recorded. And that book shall be opened. For in it shall be written all our deeds. The Lord said in John, marvel not at this, when he did those miracles and they marveled. He said, for the day will come when all that are in the graves shall come forth. And shall come forth those that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and those that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So out of those books shall be recorded and shall be read our deeds, whether they were good or bad. And then there is the book of life. And the Revelation speaks about that book of life shall be opened. And all those whose names are not found written in the book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire. We have books upon this earth. And in our churches, we don't have a book when somebody is baptized to say, well, such and such a soul was baptized, but there is one recorded in heaven. We have books when somebody is born, or a child is born, they register the child. And when somebody passes away, there's a book that is registered, such and such has passed away, they're deceased. And there's the book of life in heaven. In Revelation, Jesus said that he that overcometh, his name will I not erase out of the book of life. Satan comes with many lies, and one of those lies are that, you know, even if Jesus said about many shall come in his name and shall claim to be Christ, and the common teaching in this nominal Christianity is, well, once you're saved, that's it. You just accept Jesus once, and that's it, and your name is recorded in the book of life, and it can never be erased, and that's a lie. For Jesus said, he that overcometh, his name will not erase out of the book of life. You see, our names can be recorded in there, and our names can be blotted out. How do we know that? Well, the Lord said himself. We know in the time of old when Israel, as Moses led them, and God was displeased with his people, Moses interceded. Many died at that time. And Moses pleaded and said, Lord, forgive this thy people. And unless thou wouldst forgive them, erase my name out of the book of life. And God said, no, not your name, but the name of those that have sinned against me. Those names will be erased out of the book of life. And Revelation says, I will not blot out their name. They didn't have white ink in the old days or erasers or whatever they had. When somebody made a mistake in writing, they would just blot it out, take ink and blot out that name that it no longer exists in that book of life. So we need brothers and sisters and friends and everyone that hears this word of God to make sure that we would be accounted worthy, that we can stand before the Son of Man, that we can have the joy, that we wouldn't have that fear like Adam and Eve had, who fled from the presence of God, but that we would come with gladness and with joy, knowing that our redemption draweth nigh. Jesus said, when you see all these things, that we should rejoice, for our redemption draweth nigh. When shall the end be? Well, it could be when we close our eyes tonight in bed and we don't wake up. But when we wake up afterwards, when the Lord shall call our name, how will we stand before Him? Full of joy and peace? Or will we be in turmoil and fear, not knowing when those books will be opened, what shall be revealed? May the Lord bless these words. I would like to leave room for the brother in the other language also.